gentlemen, you are now tuned in to the Pastor Spot, a radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name's Terry Tackett, and I will now turn it over to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Steve.
Hi, Terry. I've missed you, buddy. It's been a few weeks here.
Been a little while.
Yeah, I almost lost my way in here tonight. It's been so long since I've been into the station.
Yeah, I know. You're shaking the rust off. Yeah.
Terry, I'll tell you what. You guys can't see Terry, and I'm kind of proud of him. I've been trying to lose weight, and he's been doing it. We are all trying to get healthy, aren't we? This first of the year stuff. And I know I was back on the treadmill today and doing some exercise stuff. And, we all need to get healthy, don't we?
Sure.
We certainly do. Hey, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker. I am the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. We are at 209 East Water Street. Our phone number is 740-494-2222, and our web address is prospectccf.com. Love to have you contact us at any time. We do have services on Sunday at Sunday schools at 9:30, worship's at 10:30, and we have midweek services also, and youth group, and just all kinds of fun stuff going on. So I wanted to mention that stuff. I hope that everyone had a good year last year, and we're winding up to step into a new year. So let's talk about some positive stuff tonight, Terry. What do you think?
Sounds good. We need some. Yeah.
Sounds good to me. Let's talk about health. Want to talk about health a little
bit? Great, yeah.
You know, it's real interesting. I was talking to a lady today, Jan Bradley. Mm-hmm. She's a dear friend of mine at the church. And Jan is really become in the last, Jan's in her 70s, but in the last 10 or 20 years, she's really become a student of the Bible and really studies it deeply. And we were talking today about health and food. And if you go back into some of the Old Testament law and some of the things that they were recommended to do and not to do, and you start looking at those food laws that the Hebrew people were supposed to keep, there's a good reason for a lot of them. You know, if you look at them today and plug them into a healthy diet, they were healthy. And I think that we do need to be more healthy. God wants us to be healthy. And he wanted his people to remain healthy. And that was why those laws were instituted in the first place. But there's so much stuff out there, don't you agree, that makes us, that is unhealthy, even when it says healthy. You know how you'll go in the store and they'll have those labels that just flash fat-free, and then you look at them and the sugar content's through the roof.
Yeah.
Or they'll say sugar-free and the fat content's through the roof. And then you flip it over and there's so many monosodium, this, that, and the other, and cyclines and glutamates. And
glucosamine,
You're like, what in the world am I doing to myself here, you know? This stuff is scary looking.
Yep.
And I had to laugh. I saw a little girl one time that I know that their family is very, very strict vegans. Okay. And I knew the family and this little girl.
Now, what's vegan? Is that dairy free and everything, or what?
Yeah, they're everything. Okay. They only eat, if it isn't vegetable, it's not passing their lips.
Okay. Right.
But anyway, and she was telling me that. I said, "What kind of stuff do you eat?" And she was telling me, and it was like, I was thinking of the same. Just because it doesn't have meat or dairy in it, there was more chemicals in some of that stuff. She'd have been better off eating the meat and the dairy, but. No, I don't know. I think that we all could look at a little more at being healthy, and there are ways to eat healthy out there. I'm going to share a few of them with you tonight, and because I think that it's something that, as a pastor, I shepherd people in the Word of God, and I shepherd people in our church, but there's a lot to shepherding. You know, a shepherd in the Bible, he led the sheep to green pastures. Well, I'd like to kind of be one of those pastors that helps people in a broad sense, not just on a Sunday morning.
Well, I was going to ask. I mean, I don't know if this is the right term to use, but almost like is it your obligation as a pastor to kind of help make people, you know, tell them to be healthy? Or, I mean, is it just a courtesy? Is that the word I'm looking for? I don't know if that's the...
Well, the Bible tells us that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Right. We're supposed to take care of it. I've heard that numerous times.
And if we are to be used of God to do different things, and he has a plan for our lives, one of those plans is definitely to take care of ourselves so that when he calls us into service, we're healthy.
Maybe just a reminder. Maybe that's the word I'm looking for. Is it your job to remind people? Maybe that's how I should.
In a sense, or even provide. You know, today, one of the biggest problems, Terry, is people do not have a lot of knowledge of what's healthy and what's not.
Okay, yeah.
And, you know, so I've heard, how many times have you heard people say this comment? You know, I would really love to eat healthy, but I'm not driving all the way to Columbus to Whole Foods, or I can't afford to pay that price for Whole Foods. You know what most people don't realize is that Aldi is all natural and I mean, they have the same type of food that the Whole Foods
sure
does.
Do, yeah.
And they don't, people don't realize that in their produce section.
I've been getting a lot of stuff from there.
And, yeah, it's really great. And the other thing is, you know, we have available in town, we have produce pantries. We have produce, and you can get produce at those things if you don't have the income to get food at all.
Have them call you if they need some, you know.
Absolutely.
I'm sure you can turn them
on. I can line them up. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And there's free recipes online to teach people how to cook. That's part of the problem, too, is no one knows how to cook today. Let me give you a little secret there about cooking, okay? If you're going to make something, it doesn't matter if you're boiling it. It doesn't matter if it's going in the oven or if it's going in a skillet on top. If you cook it on very low, you can't mess up. Think about that.
Yeah.
It'll eventually cook, and you'll see that it's cooked to the point that you can eat it.
Yeah.
But if you go cranking the heat, my wife is going to laugh when she hears this show because she's always saying, would you please turn down the fire that you're burning up my skillet? You know? But no, you cook anything on low, it's going to cook slowly and right.
You know what's become my best friend for a $10 investment was a crock pot.
A crock pot. Isn't that the truth?
Man, those things are lifesavers. I didn't know the first thing about cooking.
I'll tell you what, you can take a crock pot and you can take a roast, a cheap roast. You can buy the cheapest meat there is, throw in that crock pot, dump in a can of corn, dump in a can of green beans with it, maybe a few carrots, and leave that baby on low all day long. You'll come home to one of the best dinners you've had.
Mm-hmm.
Salt and pepper to taste and go after it.
Yep.
Isn't that true?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Man.
It sure
like
is.
Like I say, I made the other day, what did I make? Oh, I made. I bought a chicken from Kroger's. It was one of the cold ones,
mm-hmm.
And I warmed it up and I threw. I kind of.
I hope it wasn't still warm.
No. I kind of deboned it, and I threw it in there, and I added some like homemade broth and things like that. I made like homemade chicken sandwiches. I added some cream of chicken.
Did you get what I said?
Yeah, I heard what you said.
It was still warm, Terry. We'd have been right. But yeah, isn't that great how that works?
And for 3 days, that's what I ate. But
it's good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and it really is. Yeah. Some of that stuff's so easy to make, it isn't funny.
It's so easy, yeah.
You know, you can go get a box of stuffing and add stuff to it and a lot. Of course, now I'm heading down those chemical trails. I better back off a little bit. But even like potatoes, you can put potatoes on low. Make sure there's plenty of water in them because you don't want to burn up potatoes in your house. No, that stinks. No. But, you know, the thing is there is stuff out there to eat. And it's good stuff, and it's easy to do. People say, I don't know how to make that. Oh, come on. It's not hard. It really isn't. Like you said, a crock pot, you cannot know a thing about cooking and cooking a crock pot.
I bought a book at the Goodwill for 50 cents, a crock pot recipe book.
I know. And, you know, it's really.
And $10 for the crock pot. I got a $10.50.
Can't beat that. So how much money has that saved you, Terry? Hundreds, I'll bet.
And one thing, I've talked to a physician, which I'm going to start going to in Delaware, and he kind of gave me a good little hint. Have a salad with every dinner.
Every dinner. Because it fills you, but then it goes away.
And he said, while the main course is cooking, eat that salad.
You won't eat as much of the main course.
How much of that main course you'll have.
Yeah. You know the problem I have, and I know a lot of people have this problem. I'm asking you if you do and what you do about it. I get hungry at bedtime.
Absolutely.
And things like ice cream sound real daggone good.
Yeah.
What do you think?
What I did, I had that same thing, and this is, I don't know if this is a good thing or bad thing about my weight loss, but what I did was I had those cravings. So what I did was I went to the dollar store, Dollar General store, and for a dollar I got a gigantic bottle of water. And I take that with me, and every time I have those cravings, I take it to bed, take a drink of that water, and I just it subsides the cravings. And
hey, do you know there's a spring right outside of over off Route 4, kind of right in behind where the White Swan is? You know that is.
Yeah, I know where it's
at. You turn on to Boundary Road,
right
there, and you go down and just go over that next little culvert. If you look to the right, there's a spring there that comes up out of a pipe that never stops running.
Hmm.
And
good. You got
spring water, man. It's great stuff. You can go fill it anytime. That thing runs all year long.
Does it belong to anybody? I mean,
The property is on the corner, but I've never seen any. And there's a pull off there. I've never seen him put up signs saying, "Please don't take this water."
Oh, okay.
But a lot of people pull in there and fill up jugs, man.
Yeah,
that's cheap, and that's straight spring artesian spring water, man, right out of the ground.
And you know that stuff's been
good stuff.
Yeah.
But, there used to be one over by Berlin, over in Amish country, that literally it ran out of a huge tile and that a farmer had put in for it and down into the spring. And people would come in there. A friend of mine actually did. I went with him one trip with like a 300-gallon tank on a flatbed poly tank. Mm-hmm. And he would fill that about once every 3 months and take it to his house. And that's what they would use at home for all of their drinking and cooking. Mm-hmm. And then from my understanding, what happened was a spring company tried to buy it. And the farmer wouldn't sell it. He said that it's always been free to people. And they turned around and got the Board of Health and took water samples and got them to shut the spring off because it didn't meet certain standards. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You know, that goes on. But, you know, I'm just saying, you know, like I just mentioned the spring. We just talked about some cooking ideas. There's places that you can get vegetables really inexpensively. You say, well, my kids don't eat that stuff. You know why? Because you're giving them the option to not eat it. Mm. Honestly, your kids are hungry. They're going to eat. And give them the option, you know, even something we don't do much of today anymore. Box cereal is so easy that we feed a lot of it. And that sugary stuff, find a way around that. You know, I don't know what the exact, maybe put less sugar in it. But, you know, if you look and you go in those cereal aisles at the store, you know, don't buy the name brand stuff, man. Buy the stuff that's the store brand. Just because the other one might have a little plastic toy in it or something. Come on, man. You know, think about shopping. Think about what we buy. And I want to encourage people to do something else this year. I know a lot of people battle smoking.
Yeah.
And that's a tough one to quit. I dealt with that years ago. Yeah. But I'll say this, that If you're smoking, and smoking is expensive, by the way.
Absolutely.
I mean, we're talking about, I don't know, I think it's like $7 a pack now for middle-of-the-road stuff from what I see when I walk.
Like I say, I work part-time in that gas station.
Oh, yeah, you sell. So what is an average?
Well, the high end, $7, with tax, $7.12.
Mm-hmm.
Median, about $6.20. Mm-hmm. But there's some lower, like $5.
I mean, so you're talking about, let's just say $6 medium.
Yeah, yeah.
And you smoke 2 packs a day, right? You don't. I'm saying a lot of people do.
Sure.
That's $12 a day. That's $120 bucks every 10 days and $360 bucks a month.
The other day, we weren't able to do do our printout, you know, to see what we had to restock. So they had me keep track. In a 4-hour shift, I sold 316 packs.
Wow. That's well over $1,000
in 4 hours.
It's $1,100 bucks, man.
And that was my 4-hour shift.
No, that's more than that.
Yeah.
No, we're close. Yeah, that's holy cow.
And that's just my 4 hour.
300.
And I worked from 6 p.m. till 10 p.m. That was just my 4 hours.
Whew.
For the day was $1,100.
Packs times $6.
Times $6.
You're telling me that's $6,600 in cigarettes.
Just in
cigarettes in one day.
Not counting the fuel and the snacks and the.
So I'm looking at this here, so I'm thinking, folks.
Times 7 days a week, you know.
Well, and you look at people, say there's two people in the family and they're both smoking 2 packs a day. Man, well, you just knocked out $700 right out of the park right there in a month. And now you got a Pepsi, and you got to have this. All these things that are not good for us, we take in, and then people say, "I can't afford rent."
Yeah, Doritos and Pepsi and.
But all I'm saying is this: I understand addictions. I truly do.
Sure.
And
sure.
Smoking. I'm telling you, I believe from what is the hardest thing in the world for anyone to quit.
Sure is.
I know years ago, the only way that I was able to quit many years ago was I was in the hospital, and I had to be in there in a couple of days. And when I got out, I said to myself, if I could go a couple days without them, I'm not I'm not starting over again. Right. Let's just stop.
Yep.
And I did. Yep. But, you know, the thing is, people are bored. They have time in their hands. Other people in the house smoke. And what the one thing I can never understand, Terry, is people that go to jail.
Yeah.
And they're in there for 30 days, 60 days, can't smoke. They come out, they're clean. And the first thing you do is stop and buy a pack of cigarettes. I'm thinking, have you lost your mind?
Yeah.
But anyway, what I was getting at is that I was going to say, even if you do smoke, try this little thing. Oh, yeah. I have a lady friend in the church that is a bookkeeper. Well, she's an investor. But anyway, she came up with some plans to help people get back on their feet. And one of them is, if you're a smoker, she said, try this. Every pack that you open, take one out, okay? Just take one out and set it aside. If you smoke two packs a day, that's two cigarettes you're taking out. Do that for the first week. Then for the next week, take out two and keep working on it. Now, you've got those others as a reserve to get to when you're out, because by the time you get a certain point at the end of the month, you're going to have a stack of cigarettes, which is going to take in. And her point was to keep whittling down what it is every day. You know, you went from, what's in a pack, 20?
Yeah, I think
20. So if you're two packs, that's 40. So first you're going to go down to 39 cigarettes. Then the next week you're going to go down to 38, 37, 36.
Yeah.
And just keep making sure you do that. And eventually you're going to get down to where it's like, well, do I even need these things? And people don't realize, oh, Pastor, that's going to take them forever. Well, it's better than to keep smoking forever.
Sure.
And eventually it's going to work.
Yeah.
You know, just get down to that point. And as far as limit what we do, I mean, there's so many things we can limit. How much soda do you actually need? I know one thing that I went to with my grandkids, and it's not the most healthy thing in the world either, is we buy those little squirt bottles that you just squirt in the water. You know what's really weird about that? I bought some stuff that is A&W root beer. There's something called Mountain Dew. It's like Mountain Dew.
Uh-huh.
And you put it in the water, man, I'll tell you what, it actually tastes like it. It shocked me. There's cream soda. There's, you know.
Is it for that machine, or is it these little packets? Or?
No, they're little. Well, they make the packets, but they also make these little squeeze bottles you just squirt in water.
Oh, okay.
And it's amazing. It, you know, the cost savings is off the charts. And
you still get your soda fix.
Yeah, but you're not getting all that heavy corn syrup and all that other stuff, and
yeah.
You're just not getting it. I was reading something about the sugar that was consumed in the Bible times was about a tablespoon a year.
Wow.
And the sugar we consume today in this country, I forget what it was. It's incredible. It's like several hundred pounds a person of sugar. And we wonder what's wrong with our health and the diabetes and the weight and all the things that go on. And there's just so much you can do. But, you know, there's a lot of ways to begin this season in getting your life together. And I know with Scott on the Friday show, we talked a lot about it. And two things that I really stressed this year was start finding a church to go to. A good church that's accepting and loving and preaches the Word of God, believes the Bible. And the other thing is to, let's try to work on getting our finances in order so Mom and Dad don't fight so much. I mean, honestly, you talk to any kid you know, any adult you know, what was the biggest fight in your house growing up? Unless it was booze and ladies, it's money. I mean, it still is, even with newly married couples. It's like, what? We don't have this? And even today in my own home, it's difficult sometimes, you know, and you think there's money in the bank, and you realize this came out and that came out, and next thing you know, everyone's on edge, and you can't do something you planned. And, you know, the point is, you know, when we fail to plan, we plan to fail and don't realize it. That's a very true statement. And when we fail to plan, we plan to fail. Because that's what failing to plan is. You have to learn to start saying, okay, I work at Whirlpool. Say if I worked at Whirlpool, and I come home and I know after taxes, I'm going to have, just for argument's sake, $350 a week. And my spouse or whoever is going to come in, and they're going to make $200 a week after taxes. They don't have the greatest job in the world. Well, we know that we got $550 a week to work with, which is going to come out to how much? $2,200 a month. $22 a month. So first thing I do is take out rent, and you just knock out about $1,000 of that. Now you're down to $1,200. Now you got to say, what do I do with this? And then you got to look at where it's got to go and how it's got to do. And as you do that, decide right off the bat that I cannot borrow into that next month because I'm going to get deeper in the hole. These families that get caught up in these check cashing places, oh my word, it ruins families. I mean, you're talking about legalized loan sharking. Oh, wow, they're out there, man. I mean, that's what it is. I've seen families just devastated by those things. And just learn to live within your means. You know, kids say, well, why can't we do? Because we don't have the money yet. We got to wait till the first of the month or for payday. Folks, I got to tell you something. There is nothing wrong with putting a pot of bean soup on the stove with a pound of bacon and eating on it for 2 days. If kids say, I don't like that stuff. You know what? We had five meals when I was growing up every evening. What I mean is one for each night of the week, right, during the week, and then we had the weekend, so there were seven. And those seven got rotated, and that's what we ate. And there wasn't any other choice. But we were happy, we were healthy, and real hungry at dinner time. And we have gotten to this place where we feel we have to cater to our children. We got to cater. And nobody's healthy, and everyone's overspending. You know, credit has destroyed this country. It really has. But I think that I think as a pastor, I have to go back and look. What was it that 40, 50 years ago made people so satisfied with so little? And I think it's that there were more people that had more important, real things to fulfill their lives than they do to now. First thing I want to talk about is God. The majority of Americans 50 years ago were involved in church. And they had a relationship with God. And most churches in America, they knew Jesus Christ and they had that relationship. So they put their hopes and dreams in Him. When they were sick, they went to Him. When they were well, they went to Him. They thanked Him for the good times and they prayed through the bad times. And even thanked Him for those because they knew He was going to teach them something in it. So there was that issue. Then more families were together than are now. So they had hope in marriage. They had hope in their grandparents. Families were there for each other. Our schools were an extension of the family instead of being totally separate from the family. And what I mean by that is if I got my fanny popped at school, they were calling Dad. You know what I'm saying? Dad was taking care of it at home. Teacher and Dad were on the phone back and forth saying, what can we do to make this kid get his grades right, behaved, get his homework done? Not, it wasn't calling into the school and threatening the teacher because they said something horrible to poor little Johnny, like you're going to ruin his ears. And you start looking at all those things and you start realizing, okay, we've taken away all of the things, all the values that we had that made us a whole satisfied people. If you look at my childhood, it was probably very boring, but it wasn't. You know, I made the stick bone arrows, and got lost in the cornfield. One time I got very sick because they had sprayed the cornfield. Back then they used DDT. Oh. And I'm out there running in the cornfield. My head swelled up. Hey, I'm alive, though. Yeah. I'm alive. But anyway, you know, we did all those crazy things, and we used to make these horrible go-karts when we lived in town, and we had a driveway that we'd find someone with the only driveway or two in town that had the steep hill that would go down, and we'd build these boxes and nail lawnmower wheels on them, and we'd make race them down the driveways and crash them. You know what? We were creative. I watched my little grandson the other day at the church. His mom was working in the church doing some stuff, and he was running around throwing a paper airplane that one of the guys there, we were having a prayer meeting that morning, he just grabbed a piece of paper and folded it up and threw it at him. My grandson picked that paper airplane up, and he played with that for 2 hours. A paper airplane, folks. Now think about this.
Zero cost.
He had a ball with it. No electric power. Didn't lose parts and break and demand mommy and daddy fix it right now.
Yeah.
You know, we just got to go back to using some sense.
No social media.
And if our kids don't like it, too bad.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we've got. We got to get back to.
Sure.
You know, kids were getting up and going to church this morning. I'm not going. You can't make me. You want to bet? I can't make you. Okay, so I can't make you. I can't physically drag you out of the house. I realize that. But when I call the sheriff's department and tell him, look, my son's too young to be home by himself. He refuses to go with us and we're going to church. Would you please come and take him to jail while we go to church? He might decide to go to church. Because today, believe it or not, you still have to obey your parents. For now. When it comes to those things. And you know, when you want to... don't take that cell phone away. That's a great one. You know, don't, if they throw a fit, they throw a fit. See, I think that we're, one of the things that's really hurt us too is we have so many divided families. We have so many blended families, as they call them, that, you know, the kid says, fine, I'll go to mom's. Right? Mm-hmm. Well, you're being mean to me. I'll just go here and dad will let me do it. Parents, I got to tell you something. You know, divorces are ugly, and they can be tough. And I know that there's reasons for blended families. And I know that it's a tough time out there when you're dealing with your kids. But I'm talking to mom and dads right now because kids are gonna play it. You know that. That's what kids do. We all played our parents against each other. Mom and dad, for the sake of your kids, get on the same page, for crying out loud. You know what? What's best for the kid is best for the kid. You know, quit this stuff of, well, I'll make my kid love me more because I'm going to let him have his way. You're not making your kid love you more. Matter of fact, when they become an adult, they're probably not going to like you at all when they look at the fact of what you've allowed them to do. And spoiling kids is no way to get them to love you. My kids love me dearly, I think. They're around all the time, and they've never left me. But I bet when they were teenagers, they didn't always like me either. And I used to tell them that. I tell them, look, guys, you know, you may hate me now, but I want you to love me when I'm an adult or when you're an adult. And you're not going to unless I give you the right things to grow up with now. You may not understand it, but you will. And they all come back and they say, you know what, Dad? I sure understand why you did that. So parents, don't be afraid to do that. And, you know, if you're giving in to your kids as the way to get over on your spouse, you're not hurting your spouse. You're hurting your children. And you've got to do what's right for them. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, yeah, I think everything you said, yeah, that makes
Here's another sense, one that, yeah. that always is a head-scratcher for me. I truly believe the most important thing that you can do with your children is to raise them to not only to know God, but to know the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And history will bear me out on that, by the way. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, parents have lost their interest. We were just talking with Linda. Mm-hmm. Is that Linda?
Yeah.
Walked out that we're talking about that. Why are parents not having any desire to have their kids learn in church today? And they are. I think it's because a lot of times parents don't want the kids coming home and saying, hey, mom and dad, you know, what you doing that for? You know, parents are, you know what I mean?
Like you said earlier, you know, now you think you're better than me, you know?
Yeah, the parents saying that to the kid, oh, you think you're better than me? But, yeah. No, it's not that. You know, let these kids learn what they should learn. But you know, that problem with the kids not learning and knowing the stuff that they should know, but yet... And I watch this all the time. I watch kids play sports, and I hear them say, "Man, I can't miss practice. Mom won't let me. Dad won't let me." You know, and I've had these parents lecture their kids. You're not going to let that coach down. You're not doing that to your coach. He takes his time and he comes here and he volunteers. What do you think our Sunday school teachers and youth group leaders do? The same thing. But there's no problem with, they don't want to go to youth group tonight. They don't want to go to Sunday school today. Really? What we're teaching our kids is that it's okay to compromise when it comes to God, but not when it comes to the world. And we may be doing it inadvertently, but we're doing it. We're not consciously making that decision. Mm-hmm. But we are still making that decision. Remember what I just said a few minutes ago? When you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Absolutely. That takes planning, too. Sure. I'll be honest with you. I had no choice whether I went to church or not as a kid. All the way up through the day I graduated from high school. I just knew it. I didn't question it. And, you know, my mom was a single mom from the time I was 13 on, because my father was killed in a car accident. And until I was a 26-year-old adult, she was a widow. And she was married again then. But the point is that even as an 18-year-old kid that was still living at home because I hadn't graduated yet, mom said, you go to church on Sunday. Guess what? Steve got up and went to church on Sunday. Because it was that respect that you learned growing up. Now, I will be honest with you. The minute I got out of high school, I quit going to church for a long time. I was an ornery rascal. But you know what? I saw the truth and the consistency in my mother and the truth of what she believed, and I understood it, and I came back when the chips hit the fan. You see what I mean?
Sure.
It's kind of like that story of the prodigal son that went away, took his inheritance and left and went out and did all this riotous stuff and ended up feeding hogs because he had nothing else, you know. And then he comes back to the father, and the father welcomes him with his open arms. It's kind of that kind of thing. Kids will come back to the truth, but you've got to give them that grounding to come back to, Terry. Mm-hmm. You know, if they don't see any grounding in mom and dad, there's nothing to come back to.
Yeah.
If you don't give them that opportunity, some parents will say, well, I really want my kids to make a choice on their own when they become an adult. Don't they understand that if you don't show them as a young age, by the time they're an adult, the world is already going to told them that it's all silliness and not to believe any of it? And they're not, you know, that's the problem. Kids aren't seeing it today like they used to.
Well, I thought it was funny, too, what Linda said when she said, well, you know, like the parents will ask them, do you want to go? Well, they don't want to go, you know, or whatever. I mean,
honey, do you want to go to church this Sunday?
Yeah.
Let me ask my kids if they want to come.
I thought it was kind of funny the way she said it.
Yeah, she did. Because it's
What am I going to say? Yeah, it hit the nail right on the head. I mean, you know.
Yeah, exactly how it works.
You know, yeah.
Oh, she didn't feel like coming today.
Yeah.
You know, tell the coach that.
Exactly.
Tell the coach that.
Yeah.
What if I met the kids at the door and said, I'm sorry, you know, your kids aren't going to be able to participate in youth group tonight because they missed a practice.
Yeah.
I'll never come back to this place again.
What if you went to the coach and said, hey, coach, they can't come to practice today because they, is that what you're talking about, because they didn't come to youth group? Is that what you're?
No, I'm saying, you know how the coach says, you know, you're not going to play because you missed practice.
Right.
You know, what if the kids came to church and said, sorry, kid, you're not going to be able to participate in youth group tonight and all the fun activities
because
you missed it last week?
Absolutely.
You know, could you imagine that? Parents would say, I'm never bringing my kid back here
again.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is,
what a double standard.
What if you went to that coach and said, hey, coach, you know, this kid can't, you know, they chose not to come because they can't, you know, not the parents.
They don't want to come tonight.
Yeah. You know,
he said, really?
Yeah.
Bench time.
Yeah.
But I will say this, and I want to be honest about this. I know some of the coaches in our school, and I can't speak for all of them because I don't know them all that well. But I know several of them, and I know that with our wrestling coach, Levi Pasma. And Bob Dowds, who coaches our girls' basketball. By the way, Bob's really fighting cancer right now. You guys lift him up in prayer if you're out there. But he's still coaching the high school basketball team, girls' basketball at Elgin. I know those two coaches specifically, and I'm sure there's probably others, that if you went to them and said, I've got something going on at church, I really need to be there, they'd say, go. They'd say, go. And it wouldn't affect that, you know. Because we understand there are some things that are truly important. You know, it's really interesting. I was listening to I was watching the National Football Championship last night. Man, that was amazing.
What a game.
What a game. Wow. I mean, I kind of snickered because I was hoping Oklahoma or Alabama would get whomped. They were just too cocky coming in. You know what
I'm
saying?
You got your wish, man.
Yeah, I did. But you know,
I told them guys, I said, that's what you call going to the woodshed, picking out your switch and getting your butt whooped, man.
Yes. But you look at that kid that's playing quarterback.
What a kid, man.
19 years old.
I had a buddy of mine come up to me yesterday and say, is this kid a senior? And I said, no, he's a freshman.
19 years old.
Dynamic.
In October.
He's going to be easy. Wonderful.
But he's one of those kids that his parents worked with him and pushed him and worked and pushed him and worked and pushed him. But there was something else they worked and pushed him at. You know what that was? To know and grow up in a household of faith that loved Jesus Christ.
That's good.
And he's so outspoken on it now. And he'll come right out and say, you know, this is great, but football's not my life.
Right.
Isn't that wonderful?
Did you hear a story about the scholarship, though, real quick? That was the greatest.
Oh, yeah, that was wonderful. When Sweeney told him, no, I'm not going to.
Yeah, he said, you know, he said, aren't you going to offer me a scholarship? And he said, no. He said, you haven't shown me anything. I thought that was the greatest.
But, you know, that it's like he said, though, he said when he visited that environment, you know, you've got a coach like Sweeney who puts God first with his players and everyone else.
I've had so many people tell me that this guy is just unbelievable.
You know, and honestly, you know, Clemson isn't this perfect campus. It's still got issues going at Clemson that are worldly and whatnot. But, you know, you've got a program there run by a man that puts God first, and boy, does it show.
Yeah.
With his players, with his people. And
two out of the last three national champions.
Yeah. But you know, the thing is, you know, folks, I got to tell you out there, God works.
Yeah.
It works. When people commit to the Lord and they give their lives to Christ and they start going to church with their families, he's not telling us to clean up and come to church. He's telling us to come to church, I'll clean you up. You just come and I'll work on you. I'll get you clean. But a lot of times people think, well, I can't go to church till I kick this habit, or I can't go to church till we drive something better, or I can't go to church until, you know, we're going to have to buy some different clothes if we're going to church. There's all these excuses. Well, Jesus was the master of come as you are. I mean, that was his whole attitude. That's why he reached out to the people he did. When the Pharisees were walking around in their fine robes and their heads cocked up in the air about how they were all these great religious leaders, that's why Jesus told them, you're nothing but a den of vipers, man, a pit of vipers. You know, your whitewashed tombs, your all those words that he used to describe them, because it was all surface. And Jesus was out there, and he's writing in the sand on the ground when they're going to stone a woman for adultery, you know, and all these different things that he did, and the people that he walked with. Look at the men that he chose to be his disciples. Fishermen? Oh, come on, those smelly old fishermen. And, you know, of course, there are others too, but, you know, the point was, he said, you know, come as you are. And people, if you need church, you know your family needs it. Come as you are. That's what we do at our church. Some people, you think they've been coming as they are for a long time. No, what I mean is, no, what I'm getting at is that, you know, we don't, there's no dress code at our church.
Right.
It just doesn't happen.
Right.
Why would there be?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
We have every age of person you can imagine there.
You want bodies. You don't care about, you know.
We want bodies that need Jesus.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what they got in their bank account.
Exactly.
Or if they even have a bank account.
Yeah.
You know, as a pastor, I'm one of those odd ones out there, maybe. Or maybe I'm not one of those odd ones. I have no clue who gives what in our church, or if there's, and I don't know people that don't, what they give or who gives. I don't want to know.
Right.
I don't want to know. That's between them and God.
Sure.
And I don't want to know, because I don't ever want what somebody does having a chance to sneak in there and have some bearing on how I think or feel, or I don't want that. You know, I not that I would anyway,
sure.
But why lend the opportunity for it to happen?
Absolutely.
And so I don't know. And so if you want to come to our church and impress me by giving us a bunch of money, don't bother. Would you ever hear his pastor say that, right?
Yeah.
I'm not impressed with people's money. You know, first of all, it's God's money to begin with, Terry.
Yeah.
People say, what do you mean it's God's money? You know, I earned this money. God didn't. Really?
He helped you earn that money. I mean,
are you physically able to do it? Yep. Do you have a job? Yep. Do you think God had any bearing whatsoever on you? Nope. Wrong. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. God can take it as well as he gave it. And it is an honor to give back to God some of what we are given from God. You know, to advance his work and for more people to know about him. Now, if there's people out there that are fleecing people to live in fine homes and do wild things, well, then God will deal with them too, will he not? Mm-hmm. He dealt with the Pharisees.
Yeah.
You know, but see, here's the difference. When you take somebody like Zacchaeus that was doing that, that didn't know Jesus, when he met Jesus, and Jesus, you know, when he repented, he went back. Do you know that Zacchaeus decided to give everybody back what he had taken from him? And more, because he was convicted in his heart of what he did was wrong. But, you know, I just sitting here, other than transportation, if someone's has an issue, and you call me, I'll find you transportation. But other than transportation, I cannot think of any reason why somebody would say, I can't go to church.
Well, because the Browns are done.
Yeah, Browns are done, that's right. So I know you can come.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got this directly from God, that if you guys would have started coming to church earlier, the Browns would have won. So how do you like that?
There you go.
No, not really. That was a joke. That was a joke. But, you know, the truth is that, yeah, we put all kinds of things before church. And, you know, I can...
Well, like you said, you hit the nail right on the head. How many times have you heard excuses, you know, and you just said, and you're perfectly 100% right. We don't want to miss practice, but boy, if it's a, you know, if it's a church program, oh, that's okay. You know, I mean.
I don't know. Maybe they got bad preachers. I don't know.
I don't know how many times I've heard that same analogy that you just said.
Well, and I like the thing somebody put on Facebook. It was a picture of this guy sitting in Cleveland Stadium covered in snow and just shivering watching the game. And so this same guy said that it was too bad out to go to church that Sunday. You know, it's your priorities. Honestly, let's take all the excuses and put them away. It's priorities.
Right.
It's whatever your priorities are. If you want your family to be a better family, tonight, in little tidbits, whether it's health and eating or church, and parents, how to work with your kids. We've given you a bunch of little tidbits here. Now, you can take those things and say, how am I going to implement them? Or even call me. I'll be glad to walk you through a plan. But, or you cannot. But see, you can't blame it on other people all the time. It's too easy. We do that too much. Oh, you don't know what I've been through. I don't know what you've been through, and you don't know what I've been through, and you don't know what Terry's been through. And none of us usually, once we find out, want the other person's lot in life, because, wow, how'd you deal with that? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I dealt with mine through giving it to God and letting him deal with it. And you can do that, too. So I just want to share that.
I believe with what's happened to me, I believe, really, I wouldn't have made it had I not had prayer and, you know, a lot of people praying for me and stuff.
Absolutely. You've been through a tough couple of years.
So, yeah.
And
I thank all of them, you know. But, yeah, that's really, that's what pulled me through.
Absolutely. Isn't that great?
So, yeah.
And when people don't have that, I can see why there's despair out there and hopelessness. If you don't have God, what do you have?
Yeah.
When the money's gone... what happens when you got an addiction and the money's gone?
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about hitting the skids.
Oh, man.
You know.
And I mean, there was times I was at, from that same, I was at my lowest point, you know, everything, money, everything.
Everything, and it just, you know, where do you turn, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Where do you turn? But, you know.
Glory be to God.
Man. Glory be, absolutely, to God be the glory, because he's there. He's there. Hey, I really do want to invite you to our church. We are at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. It's Community Christian Fellowship. We got two different signs out front, so you can't miss us. We're at the corner of East Street and Water Street, right in the middle of Prospect. We are only from Marion. We're only 10 to 15 minutes from wherever you're at. If you're on the southwest side of Marion, we're 5 minutes down the road. But I invite you to come. Our phone number there is 740-494-2222. Our website is prospectccf.com. We'd love to have you come. If you want to just come sneak in maybe on a Sunday morning and see what we're about, you can come at 10:30 and sit in the back. A lot of people want to come in and sit in the back, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, or you can sit right in the front.
Right, yeah.
We do not have assigned seats in this church, and we're a welcoming, kind church.
Yeah.
Anyway, we would love to have you come. And if you want to talk to me beforehand, I had a lady call me last night. I was at the church for a meeting at 8 o'clock, and she called, wanted to know when church was and wanted to come visit. And you know, I'm glad to talk to anyone on the phone or invite them. And we have a nursery for babies, and we got kids. Places for the kids, and great community of people. God bless you guys.
Are you still doing your Team Kid?
Yeah, Team Kid is actually this next Tuesday night. That's ages 3 up to 5th grade and at the church. And it's from 6:30 till 8. God bless you guys. Have a good one.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. For people like legendary